Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Advent offers an opportunity for us to create space in our life, that we can slow down and be still and let God be God, because, by the way, He's very good at being God. Christmas lights have been up in my neighborhood since the week before Halloween. It's against the HOA rules, but they were up anyway. Stores didn't even wait for Halloween to be over before they moved in all the Christmas stuff. Nancy and I saw the Christmas tree tent at Home Depot on November 15th, and Costco was selling Christmas wreaths the week before that. Do they really think in the Hawaiian heat that those things are going to last till Christmas? I wish the world was in a hurry to get to Jesus, but I know for a fact they're not. One of the traditional Advent benedictions comes from Revelation 22, verse 20, where Jesus tells us people, "I am coming back to save you." And St. John and the people respond, "In so, Lord Jesus, quickly come." It's a paraphrase, but it's accurate. I don't know if you're in a hurry for Jesus to return, but I know based on the book of Revelation that even though we're not close to things being as bad as they're going to get, Jesus tells us that we need to be ready at every single moment. There's a double meaning to that, and we'll get to that later. So have you ever gone to meet someone that you've never met? I mean, you might have seen a picture of them, you might have chatted on Zoom, something like that. You know quite a bit about them, but you've never actually seen them face to face. Now, he says he's going to be at a particular place around 2 o'clock, a place, by the way, that you're not real familiar with. You decide to arrive early, and you pull out your phone to double-check the location and the time and discover that your phone battery is dead. It's always hard to know how to wait. I mean, you don't want to miss the person that you're there to meet because if you don't know them and they don't know you, it's not like you're going to hear them call out your name. And there's that kind of creepy looking guy over there and you want to keep an eye on him. And then there's that little kid that's learning to walk and he's just having a ball and giggling. And there's that couple in love and there's that guy who's playing guitar and he's really good. All these distractions. Now, the guy you're meeting said he'd be there about 2. You got there at 1:45, it's now 2:15, and you still don't see him. Did he forget? Is he lost? Is he there, and you just don't see him, and he doesn't see you? How long do you wait? Because your phone's dead, you can't call him, and he can't call you. Now what? Advent is about waiting for God. He promised to come back and take us home. We've been waiting since around 30 AD, and that's a long time. I'll let you do the math on it. Just a hair under 2,000 years. Jesus says we are to wait eagerly and with anticipation. And that's hard to do for even a week, let alone 2,000 years. Now, Jesus never hid the fact that after he went back to heaven, this world was going to go downhill fast. And in the end, it was going to be almost impossible even for the believers to exist. Now, Matthew 25 says, "False Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." Now, the elect are sealed with God, and yet Satan's temptations and power will take them to the very limits of their faith. No wonder Jesus tells us to keep watch. So Advent is both good news and bad news. So I admit, waiting can bring about a little bit of anxiety and fear. I mean, how long do we have to wait? How dark is it going to get? Have I done everything that I need to do? I mean, is everything safe? It's like when you are on an airplane, you're flying somewhere, and by the way, for us, it's a minimum of about a 5-hour flight just to get to the West Coast. The door of the aircraft closes, the purser comes on and says, "We've been cleared for takeoff. Everybody take your seats. Everybody turn off your cell phones." You turn it off, and just as the screen fades, you suddenly have this terrible fear that you left the curling iron plugged in. And you pull out your phone, and the flight attendant says, "Phones off." And that's where you spend the entire flight worrying and wishing that the plane could go faster. That's the bad news. This is why Jesus completes his thought by saying, "Stand up and know that your redemption is drawing near. Despite all the darkness, despite all the bad news, your salvation is drawing near." Isaiah 51 is very clear that God is coming to save us. We don't need to doubt it. The cross and the empty tomb, well, that's God's way of saying it's okay. Not it's going to be okay. It already is okay. So back to the 5-hour plane flight where all you did was worry that your house burned down because you were in a hurry and forgot to unplug the curling iron. Now what God is saying in Isaiah 51 is like this. So you land, and the moment your wheels touch down, you pull out your phone and you're on the taxiway, so it's now legal, and you turn your phone on and you're expecting there to be a message. We're so sorry about your house. But instead, there's a message from your neighbor. You know, the one that you asked to water the plants? And she says, hey, I knew you were in a hurry, and so I decided to go over and check on the house, and I noticed the curling iron was plugged in, so I unplugged it, I watered the plants, I brought the mail in, I put the garbage out for tomorrow, did a little bit of tidying, everything's fine, have a great vacation. Wow. Now, as much as I would like to tell you not to worry, to cast off all your anxiety, that God's taking care of your curling iron and everything else, I know monkey mind is real and it keeps us from sleeping and enjoying family time and from fully dedicating ourselves to God. See, the moment we get to heaven, we're going to know that everything's okay. But until then, it's that 5-hour plane flight. I also know the Holy Spirit works by slowly infusing God's word into our hearts, our souls, and our minds. Jesus doesn't just tell us to ignore all the pain and problems and dangers. He tells us plainly and openly to keep watch and be aware. And it is. It's a very delicate balancing act. Say, I also want to know, just like the disciples, when Jesus is going to return and how long it's going to take him. And I also want to know when we're going to know it's almost time. See, if I know that he's coming, I'll be able to clean up the house a little bit and, you know, take a shower, put on some deodorant, put on some crisp Aloha wear, and swing by and pick up a lei for him so that when he arrives, I look really good and he thinks that I'm all set. There's a reason Jesus says no one but the Father knows when that day will be. Now, if you're thinking, isn't Jesus God's son and aren't they inseparable? How can Jesus possibly not know? Well, it's the same way that it works for our sins, which God says, by the way, he has forgotten them, except for the fact that he's God and he has a perfect memory. And so he chooses not to remember our sins. See how that works? He chooses not to remember it. Jesus chose not to know the day or the hour because if he let it slip, he didn't want anybody putting up a big doomsday clock that said the minutes and the seconds are ticking down until the end of the world. Do you remember being a child? Monsters under the bed or maybe in the closet. All of us had our own way of dealing with them. Some of us had a magic water spray that dissolved the monsters. Some put a chair in front of the door or shoved so much stuff under the bed that there was no way a monster could get under there. Or maybe we stuffed that old grilled cheese sandwich under there, which was pretty gross because it was green. Or when everything else failed, we ran into mom and dad's room because we knew that they secretly had superpowers that would vanquish all the monsters. Those kind of monsters were one thing. But when mom and dad were talking about somebody who died, or a natural disaster that claimed a lot of lives and did a lot of damage, or maybe talking about something far more personal that's deeply going to affect the family, and we worriedly ask, what are you talking about? And mom with tears in her eyes, and dad with his vacant look on his face, turn and say, you're too young to understand. Yeah, I might be too young to understand, but I'm not too young to worry. We go to bed worried about mom crying and our dad with that vacant look in his eyes, and we dream that we could become Superman or one of the Avengers, and we could go and fix everything and take care of everyone so that nobody ever has to cry, nobody ever has to feel helpless. And we were feeling so invincible until there was a noise outside of our window, and then we pulled the covers over our head and we shivered until daylight. Gospel today isn't very gospel-y. The end times, Armageddon, the apocalypse, it's been written about and sung about and found and talked about since time began. No matter how dark and scary, by the way, that any of those people made it, we know that they're not even close to how bad it really is going to be. At the end of the gospel, Jesus says, you know, that day will come on you unexpectedly like a trap. It's going to come on all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and so that you'll be able to stand before the Son of Man. In the assigned readings, that's where the gospel lesson ends. It's normally where I would say, this is the gospel of our Lord, and you would sing, praise to you, O Christ. If you listened carefully, though, when I said, this is the gospel of the Lord, there would have been the smallest hint of my statement actually being a question. Is this really the gospel? That's why I added more verses, because it already wasn't very gospel-y, but I think the verses that the lectionary folks left out bring some truth that we need to hear. Matthew continued, during the day, Jesus was teaching in the temple complex, but in the evening, he would go out and spend the night on what is called the Mount of Olives. Then all the people would come early in the morning to hear him in the temple complex. Even though Jesus is teaching some very hard and scary truths, the people kept coming to hear him teach. Why would they do that? I'm a big fan of the truth. I want the doctor to say, this is going to hurt. I want the teacher to say, this is a hard test. I want someone to say, you know, that was not my best work, and know that they're telling the truth, not fishing for compliments. That is why I love Jesus being honest with us. See, we aren't promised puppy dogs and ice cream, nor does Jesus say that everything in our life is going to be easy. In fact, we're told up front and in very plain and simple terms, following Jesus is going to be hard. Sometimes it's going to be painful, and the world is pretty much going to be against us. Now, during COVID, by the way, I added the words, the ability to be the non-anxious presence in our community, to the Sunday prayers. And I chose to keep those prayers in even after COVID was over, at least according to the CDC. Rarely can we control what happens to us, but we can always control how we respond. And how we respond can make a big difference in the way the people around us respond. We can be like a barometer, influencing them, whether we're going up or down. Now, see, you can be afraid of things without being scared. You can doubt without giving up. You can love even when it's hard. You can hurt and not attack. You can be angry and not sin. I love St. Peter when he says, you know, always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. However, do this with gentleness and respect, keeping your conscience clear so that when you are accused, those who denounce your Christian life will be put to shame. Don't you love that? What does it take to lessen your anxiety? Now, none of us can totally get rid of our anxiety, but we can find a way to push it to the side so that we can get done the things that we actually need to get done. Anxiety is a distraction, nothing more, nothing less. The moment we start being afraid of something that happened yesterday, something, by the way, that we have no ability to change because it happened yesterday, or we start worrying about what might happen tomorrow and we have no control over whether it does or not, we're no longer fully present in the here and the now. And that often leads to mistakes. We are so worried about yesterday or tomorrow, we mess up our today. And by the way, that just creates more anxiety and creates more mistakes. Here's the truth of Advent. It's about being in the here and the now. Whatever your fears are, and I know your fears are real because I know that my fears feel so real. Jesus says that they are not the final reality. When Jesus says, do not be afraid, he's not saying there aren't things to be afraid of. There are. It's just that most of those things that we choose to be afraid of, and notice I said choose to be afraid of, are things we either have no control over or things that are never going to happen. When Jesus says to be alert, it doesn't mean staring at the Ring camera image, waiting for somebody to pop up, or going out on the lanai and with your finger pre-dialed 9-1 with your other finger right on 1, just waiting for something. That's not what Jesus is saying. It means be present in the here and the now with a holy anticipation and expectation of what shall be in the best possible sense, because God is in the here and in the now. We can be the people of God, bringing light and peace. Sometimes it's nothing more than, remember what Jesus told the disciples in that room? The very first thing he said was, peace be with you. Heard my first Christmas song on November 10th. As I said, the lights were already out in the neighborhoods before Halloween. Costco and Home Depot, by the way, are already sold out of a lot of Christmas stuff. The world can't handle sitting still and being present for God. I wish that they really were in a hurry to get to Jesus. I would even accept starting the season early as hopeful optimism that peace and joy could reign in the hearts and the minds of all people. But I'm pretty sure the early season is more about money and an excuse to party and buy things and forget what's happening in the world and in their life. And all that ends in January when they get dumped back into a very harsh reality. What Jesus is offering us is hope, not optimism. The two are very different. Hope frees us from trying to predict or plan the future. We get to live in the here and the now with a deep and abiding faith that God has not forgotten us, nor will God ever forget us. One day he will bring all of his promises to fulfillment. Until that day, we can be patient and let him be God, which, as it turns out, he's really, really good at. Please know patience is not waiting passively for someone else to do something. Patience is more of a holy anticipation that allows us to live in the moment to its fullness, taste the here and now, and know that it's only going to get better. If you ever went to Kimo's on Front Street, and yeah, it's no longer there because of the Maui wildfire, they had good food, and I always enjoyed it. But to be honest, the whole time I was sitting there watching the waves roll in and the sun set and eating my teriyaki sirloin sandwich, which was my favorite, what I was really waiting for was the hula pie. It was broke to mouth, as they would say. That's the way life can be. Enjoy the moment. It's good. Savor it. But know that there's hula pie coming later. I have no doubt that Jesus is going to serve us hula pie because he talks about a banquet and, ooh, that would be the best dessert ever. See, the world uses Advent to run away from things instead of running toward Jesus. The apocalyptic texts, all the wars and rumors of wars, seven-headed beasts, earth and heavens burning with fire, droughts and diseases. Jesus isn't really trying to scare us. He wants us to pay attention, make sure that we're ready for the day that he returns. But he also wants us to note that everything that's going to happen between here and now could be a little scary if we didn't know that he was watching over us. Jesus always adds that caveat. This is nothing new. It's always happened, and it always will, right up until that last moment. Wars and dictators and natural disasters and pandemics are very real, but they are not the final reality. That leads us back to the moment. You sitting there, me standing here. It's what we have. The people around us, the air we breathe, the smell of coffee, it's real, and we can take a deep breath and just for a moment let God be God and rest in his arms. Ask him to quiet our mind, console our heart, embolden our soul. This moment right now, Christ is here bringing us peace. I want you to drink that in before you go and head out the doors and back into the craziness of the world. Let his word soak into the deepest recesses of your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.